This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فلما جن عليه الليل رأى كوكبا قال هذا ربي فلما أفل قال لا أحب الآفلين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Ibrahim alayhi salam is one of the most intelligent human beings that ever lived. And we have to understand that before we read the rest of this incident. You're going to see in this incident that he's going to say that he looked at the star, and then he looked at the moon, and then he looked at the sun, and declared that they must be his God. And maybe the Sunday school version of the story that you may have heard is that he was in fact seriously considering the star as his God, and then he considered the moon as his God, and then the sun as his God. And as the story goes, when the moon disappeared, or the stars disappeared, meaning in the morning, then he realized he cannot be worshiping something that disappears. The same thing happens with the moon, and he realizes by morning it's not something he can worship. And then he does the same thing with the sun as the sun sets, that he cannot be worshiping something that sets. The problem with all of that is he already knew the moon and the sun and the stars were going to disappear before they disappeared, because human beings experience night and day since the moment they can have memory as small children. So this is not some discovery he had by that evening. Oh no, the sun disappeared. What am I going to do now? That's the farthest thing from genius, isn't it? So what he's doing here is actually demonstrating, he's demonstrating the ridiculousness of believing in creation as having divine power. That's what he's actually doing. He's not actually believing it, he's showing it. And this is again one of the unique ways of presenting an argument that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. You can consider it even a high form of sarcasm. And this is not the only time you're going to see sarcasm from Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's going to break all the idols eventually, and he's going to, then when they come and question him, the only one he spares is the big one, right? And they say, did you do this? And he says, ask the big one, right? And he's not serious about ask the big one. He's demonstrating the ridiculousness of what they believe. Gods that you come to for protection can't even protect themselves. And the big one saw all of it happen. You can't even ask him a question and know what, he doesn't even know what happened, the big one. He's demonstrating. And again, this kind of demonstration was never done by people before, by prophets before. This was uniquely given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, unlike any other prophet. So he's doing this actually a very aggressive form of da'wah, if you will. But in that aggressive form of da'wah is some profound wisdom also. So that's what we're going to pay attention to. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ When night fell upon him, رَأَى كَوْكَبًا He saw the night star, which is referring to Jupiter or the north star that shines extra in the horizon. قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي He said, this is my Rabb, this is my master. Now it's interesting that the words هَذَا رَبِّي are made up of a مُبْتَدَى and a خَبَر. هَذَا is الْإِسْمُ الْإِشَارَةِ means this, and رَبِّي is the خَبَر. Arabic students here would know that. But he didn't say الْكَوْكَبْ رَبِّي. Al-Kawkabu Rabbi, the star is my God, is my master. That's not what he says. He says, this is my master. The thing about the word this is that it can refer to anyone or anything. And this is a kind of tawriya. Tawriya means in Arabic, when you say something that can have multiple meanings. Somebody might listen to you and think that you mean one thing, but you actually mean something else, right? So, for example, you know, there's a person hiding underneath the table, and the police come. Have you seen this man? You know, have you seen this man running by here? No, I haven't, officer. And that's actually true, because you didn't see him running by, you saw him hiding under the table. So technically, you spoke the truth, right? So you can play tawriya, meaning you can play word games. What I'm arguing is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he says, Hada Rabbi, the people who are listening to him think that he's pointing at the star and saying, this is my master. But actually, even in those words, he doesn't actually say a statement of shirk. Hada Rabbi is not a statement of shirk because it could still be referring to Allah himself. It could also be referring to al-musabbib, meaning, I'll tell you this, like for example, iftar happened, right? And people brought different kinds of food. And there's one kind of food that your mom made. And you know your mom's cooking. You know your mom's plate. So you see, you say, this is my mom. That's not your mom. That's a plate. But what do you mean by that? You mean this is the work of my mom. So we actually do this all the time. You know, people look at a designer, right? They look at a designer or they like a scientist like Elon Musk, for example. Or they see a Tesla go by. That's Elon Musk. That's not Elon Musk. That's a car. But you're saying this is a product of Elon Musk. You understand? So we associate things with their manufacturer, their maker, their origin, their source all the time. This is a natural part of language. So in fact, looking at the moon with awe and saying this is my master, as in this is my master's work, is actually completely understandable. But obviously the mushrik who can't see behind that cannot see the depth of those words. So they just see he's saying, oh, he must be exploring that this is in fact his God, his Rabb. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَى. By the way, also interestingly enough, he didn't say هَذَا إِلَهِ, this is my God. He said, this is my Rabb, this is my master, my nurturing master. Rabb is a very powerful relationship where whenever you declare someone Rabb, you become abd, you become the slave. So he's not just saying, I want to believe in some supernatural being. He's actually saying, I know whatever that supernatural being or that all-powerful entity is, I have to have a relationship with him. And that relationship will be, he will be master and I will be slave. So هذا ربي. فَلَمَّا أَفَلْ, when it disappears, when it vanishes into the morning sky. قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. He said, I do not love those that settle, those who disappear. Now he didn't say, I don't worship. He said, I don't love. لَا أُحِبُّ. Right? So what he's saying now is, whoever he's in search of, the worship he's going to do of him is not based on fear. It's not based on authority. The first thing that worship is based on is actually love. لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. I was just telling the kids before this halaqah after Maghrib, that after Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned Rabb in Fatiha, right after Rabb, the first thing he wanted us to know about the word Rabb, or how we should think about Rabb, is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Immediately after that, there's a direct correlation between him being Ar-Rabb and him being Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now why is that important? Because Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim means he showers an enormous, unimaginable, constant amount of love on us. Which means the one who gives you the most love, you fall back in love with them. The friends that are there for you in your toughest times are the friends you love most dearly. The parents, the siblings, the friend, the spouse, the children. When they give you love, the love for you have for them increases. It's a reciprocal thing. When you recognize Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the reaction to that is that I have an insatiable amount of love for my Rabb. That's the driving force. So it's really remarkable that that's actually the first key ingredient in my relationship with Allah. And he's seeking that already when he says, لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا. When he saw the moon out in full display, قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. He said, this is my Rabb. This must be it. Again, هَذَا ambiguous, so it could refer to Allah directly, which is what he's doing. فَلَمَّا أَفَلْ. When it also vanishes, قَالَ لَئِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي. And if my actual Rabb does not guide me, لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ, then I will absolutely be from the nation that is utterly lost. He's saying this out loud. And he's hoping people who hear this say, he'll be from the lost people if he just thinks that this is the Rabb and that's the Rabb. Oh, that means I'm from the lost people. And he's indirectly trying to motivate them to develop the same thought process that he's demonstrating. Why haven't you thought about this? Are you so busy in your daily life that you didn't ever stop and think about this? You know, and this is the other thing. Are the rest of the people stupid? You think they just worship the sun and the moon because they're not intelligent? Human beings are intelligent. All human beings are intelligent. It doesn't matter if they're mushrik or atheists or, you know, some of the smartest scientists you'll meet are going to be Hindus and atheists and Buddhists and of strong conviction in those religions. So it's not like people who do shirk are not intelligent. You know what it is? They never think about these things. They're thinking about other things instead. They're thinking about other things instead. There are some things, what happens, you could be really smart in some part of your life and really mindless in other parts of your life. And you can coexist. Those two things can coexist inside the same person. You can have the best, you know, lung surgeon who's also a chain smoker when he's stressed out. He's separated the two parts of it. Like, it doesn't connect for him that those two things don't go together, right? You can have people that are super intelligent lawyers. They can win a case. They can humiliate the opposition. They can wreck somebody in court, right? But they are completely, utterly silenced in front of their mother who comes from a village, who doesn't, and she knows how to manipulate them, and he can't say a word, and because part of his brain works here. When he puts that suit on, he goes into the courtroom. He's a beast. But then he's a in Urdu they call it a bhigi billi, like it's a soaked cat. Like that's what he becomes. In another situation, can't even articulate himself, right? So you can have this dichotomy inside of a person, this contradiction inside of a person. Ibrahim alayhi salam sees a people that may be smart in business, they're running a village, they're running a town, they're smart people. But when it comes to their faith, when it comes to their worship, they just never thought about it. It's just what was passed down, they just do it. That's one part of their life where they turn their brain off. And that's what he's trying to activate. You know, so he said, why don't you think about this also? You give so much thought to how you're going to farm. You give so much thought to how you're going to raise your family. You give so much thought where you're going to live, what schooling you're going to get. All these things required so much thought and energy and planning from you. And yet your entire, your purpose for the next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, you thought about it. But your purpose entirely you leave behind, you know? And we all know the smarter people have longer term planning. They think ahead. Right? So Ibrahim alayhi salam is thinking even beyond this life. That's what he's teaching them to think. So he says, if I don't find my Rabb, then I'm just going to be from people that are utterly lost. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً. This is the final straw. When he saw the sun out in its full glory, قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ. This must be my Rabb. This is even bigger. It's also interesting, an illustration that the word هَذَا is not literally referring to these items, that he's using them as thawriya. Why? Because in the Arabic language, the shams is mu'annath sama'i. It's considered feminine. So if you wanted to talk about the sun, you would say hadhihi rabbi. Actually, you wouldn't say hadha rabbi. So he uses this word to actually talk about Allah himself, but he's pointing at this. Everybody else thinks he's talking about the sun. And he says hadha rabbi, hadha akbar. And we say Allahu akbar, don't we? We say that already. So he says, this must be my Rabb. This is bigger. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ. And when it settled, when the sun set, he said, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. Look at that. Now we get to the real point. Now the demonstration's over. Now we get to real talk, directly communicating with those people. And he says, my people, I have nothing to do with the associations, the shirk that you people keep committing. The equality you make between these creations and actual God, these things that you do, I have nothing to do with it. On a side note, I should tell you that in the last few decades, there were some digging after the Iraq war. There were some diggings in Iraq, and they discovered what they argue to be the ancient city of Ur, which is, the Bible says that's the city of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he was born and raised. And the Bible doesn't tell us that they used to worship the sun and the moon and the star. The Quran tells us that. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. The only thing the Bible says is they worshipped many gods. So they had lots of idols. That's all we learn from the Bible, right? But the Quran is telling us, kind of pointing at that there are three main gods in that society. They worshipped the star, they worshipped the sun, and they worshipped the moon. So anyway, this dig happens a couple of decades ago, and they discover what they believe to be the city of Ur, which is filled of idols. Like throughout this town, there are idols of all sizes. People had small, tiny action figure size idols in their homes, half size, you know, half person size, but they only found three gigantic idols, like person sized or even bigger than a person. There were only three. There were three men-like idols, men and women-like idols, and one had the crown of a sun, and the other had the crown of a moon, and the other had the crown of a star. Right? And it's remarkable that the Bible never talked about any of this. The Quran alludes to it, that they had these beliefs. And perhaps that's why, Allahu A'lam, Ibrahim alayhi salam was making this demonstration. Of all of the idols they worshipped, he picked the three big ones. and went after them in this one simple demonstration and says, "Inni bari'un mimma tushrikun. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal-ard hanifan wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen." This is incredible words. Please pay attention to them. He says, "I am the one for I alone am the one that have directed my face entirely to the one who molded and fashioned and created the skies and the earth from nothing, hanifan, exclusively. I have done so exclusively." It's interesting, he doesn't say inni uwajjihu, that I'm doing it now. Now that I've concluded. He says, I've already done it. It's in the madi. Meaning even before this demonstration, it was already done. He was already exclusively someone who worshipped Allah alone. And he says, I'm going to turn my face towards the one who created the skies and the earth alone. By the way, this is in the early days of Ibrahim alayhi salam. There's no Kaaba yet. Yeah. But look at the words that are coming out of his mouth. I turn my face towards the one who made the skies and the earth. So what does Allah do with those words? He gives him a gift. He gives him the gift to make a building on this earth that can help human beings around the world turn their face towards their Rabb. Subhanallah. Like he said those words about turning our face. You know, turning his face towards his Rabb, and Allah gave him the model to do that, to be able to worship Allah and Allah alone. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And no, I am not from those who commit shirk at all. This ma is called al-raft. What that means is, no, I am not a mushrik at all. In other words, if you ever thought for one day that I was like you, I've never been like that. I've never been like that. Quran will other places talk about him and say, مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He wasn't from those who committed shirk ever. This is ma is a very strong form of negation. He was never like that. So we shouldn't read anything about Ibrahim alayhi salam and think that at some point he was on shirk and eventually he came to Islam. It was never like that. He was on tawheed from the beginning. Just like we say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, he's born and raised in a mushrik society. Shirk is all around him and he's never ever inclined towards it. He's a muwahid from the beginning. He's dedicated to one God from the beginning. And this is actually very similar to what's happening with Ibrahim alayhi salam. From here, we're going to learn that his nation is going to fight back against what he's saying. They're offended by what he's saying. And in our next halaqah, inshallah, tomorrow, I'm going to share with you some of the most amazing wisdom that Allah gave to Ibrahim alayhi salam that is still alive and well today. Like it beats in the heart of every human being, not even every Muslim, every human being. And we're going to explore that as we continue these ayats from Surah Al-An'am. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم